Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, The Forgotten God. We want to thank you for joining us, and we hope this inspires you and builds your faith.
Well, welcome to New Point. We're excited about you being here. We're one church in six locations, and we're glad that you've chosen to be with us. You picked a great time to be with us because we're kicking off a brand new series, and it's called The Forgotten God. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of confusion out there about the Holy Spirit. And so it does a number of things to us. You know, maybe you grew up in church and it was confusing, and so you just thought, you know what, I'm just going to push that aside. Or maybe you haven't been interested in the Holy Spirit because you're afraid it's going to spook you. But the fact of the matter is, we're going to learn that the Holy Spirit is very, very, very important. Very, very important. I can't underestimate how important the Holy Spirit is. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to take a look at it. And today, we want to look at who is he? Who is he? And so I want us to understand the importance of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer said this a number of years ago, probably almost 50 years ago, and it's still true today. Here's what he said. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. Wow. No one would know the difference. We'd keep on having shop. And then he goes on to say this. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. Everyone would know the difference. One of the things I like to ask people every once in a while, I'll ask my wife, I'll ask our kids, you know, maybe I've even asked you. So if God would have to die and be non-existent, what would you have to quit doing? What would you have to, wait, hey, wait a second, man. If God is that, now I know theologically that's impossible, okay? But would you have to stop anything? Is there anything in your life right now? Is there anything that you're embracing? Is there anything that's going on in your life right now that makes you so attuned to God that you say, you know what, I am so dependent upon you. I need you. And if you're not working, if you're not flowing, if you're not filling me, you know what, there's no way on earth I'm going to pull this off. Truth be known, 95% of us, we wouldn't even miss them. Because we have a tendency to do things in our own power, in our own strength, in our own ability. And we end up limiting the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, here's what I want us to realize. When we talk about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we have a tendency to think in a linear way. But in reality, that's not true, because the Holy Spirit has always been. And so we have a tendency, well, then there was God the Father, and then there was God the Son, and then, you know, the one who tags along or follows up is God the Holy Spirit. It's not true. It's not true. The Holy Spirit has always been in existence because, as we're going to learn today, the Holy Spirit is God. It's God. One God in three distinct roles. And so I want to help us with this because in the book of Genesis, we learn that the Holy Spirit was at creation. He was there in the beginning. Look at what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. You need to get that. The earth was what? Formless, empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, moving over the waters. And as I read that and I sense that, okay, it lets me know that the Holy Spirit was an agent of creation. was an agent of creation. It's the one who brought it about, made it happen. He was there. He was hovering over this place that was earth, that was formless and empty and dark. Maybe that describes your life. Empty, formless, and dark. But he was an agent of creation. Not only that, he was a designer of creation. He was the one who arranged everything. The reason why we have a cosmos instead of chaos is because of the Holy Spirit. The reason why we have systems, the reason why we have processes is because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an arranger, a designer. He's the one who brings order. And so we have to understand that. We have to realize that. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is an agent of creation, a designer of creation. But he's also a protector of creation. He's a protector of creation. He sustains the order of creation. The reason why we're not falling apart today is because of the Holy Spirit. He sustains it. He brings order. He speaks. And it's there. And so the Holy Spirit was involved in the creation of the earth, of the heavens, of everything, and of humanity. And of humanity. And so what we have to understand is that the Holy Spirit sustains the order of creation. Look at this verse right here, okay? It says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." The Holy Spirit was breathing life into his nostrils. And so the Holy Spirit has always been and always will be. The Holy Spirit creates, the Holy Spirit orders, and the Holy Spirit sustains all life. And so we read, "In the beginning was God, and the Spirit of God was moving." Doing what? Creating, ordering, and sustaining all of life. Now, what we learn as we read through Scripture is that God progressively unveils the Holy Spirit more and more and more and more. He gives us the revelation. And so we see it there in creation. But then we also see it when God gave birth to a nation called Israel. And they went to Egypt. Joseph, you know the story? The guy who had the coat of many colors. And God gave birth to a nation. It was called Israel. And yet they became so powerful because a Pharaoh rose up who did not know Joseph. And he enslaved them because he was afraid of them. And they were in slavery for 400 years. And then God raised up a man. His name was Moses. And he came and he said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh wouldn't do it. And so God sent the 10 plagues. And he was telling the Jews, the nation of Israel, "I have a land for you. And it's flowing with milk and honey." And so these 10 plagues came. And on the last plague, Pharaoh got so angry and mad that he said, "Get out of here. Take your people and leave." And so Moses led the people of Israel to the promised land that was flowing with milk and honey. How'd they get there? Well, let's look. Here's what the writer says. "The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided a light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people." And so here we see the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, symbolically of the Spirit of God leading them and guiding them and directing them to a place that they had never been. It's called the Promised Land. It's a place filled with milk and honey. And so the Holy Spirit has always existed, and the Holy Spirit has always been active It always has been active. And so we learn from this that the Holy Spirit creates and orders and sustains, but at God's discretion for Israel's direction and protection, that the Holy Spirit was creating and bringing about order and sustaining the people at God's discretion so that he could direct them and protect them. And so the Holy Spirit has always been involved. Always been involved. And we go in and we move into the New Testament and the writings, the Gospel of John. Jesus is speaking to a man named Nicodemus. And they were talking, and Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jew. He knew the Bible. He understood the Bible. He understood everything that I just shared with you. Because they could quote the first five books of the Bible, Torah. So he knew all of that. And so he had this encounter with Jesus because he knew that Jesus was from God, because he couldn't do the things that he was doing if he were not for God. And so he came to Jesus in the middle of the night. And I think this is unbelievable because Jesus shared this story. That's why John wrote it down, so that you and I could understand more. And so they had this encounter, and Jesus said this to Nicodemus. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And so he was telling Nicodemus, you have to be born again. Born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit of God, so that the Spirit of God can come and reside in you. And so what do we learn from this? Well, the Holy Spirit creates, orders, and sustains at God's discretion for our direction and purpose. And so here we have John telling his encounter of Jesus and Nicodemus, a religious man that had a form of godliness. And now John continues over in chapter 13, and he tells about the Last Supper, where Jesus comes and he washes the feet of the disciples. And in a few hours, Jesus knew, probably about 10 or 12 hours, he knew that he was going to be crucified, hanging on a cross. And he knew that there would be chaos. He knew that there would be fear. He knew all of this was going to happen. And he wanted to let them know about the Holy Spirit who would come to create and bring order and sustain them through this very, very dark time in their life. And so after Judas leaves, John chapter 14, you can read it. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, but believe in God. Believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again so that you might be where I am also." And Jesus begins to talk about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16. And this all happens in the night before he is crucified. And here's what Jesus says. He says, "I will ask the Father," knowing that he's going to go to the cross, knowing that their world would be turned upside down, knowing that they would need a creator, a sustainer, somebody to bring order. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Okay, remember that word, helper. "That he may abide with you forever," because I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. He goes on to say this. He says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." He's talking to Jewish guys who knew about the Spirit of God, who knew that the Spirit of God was at creation, who knew that the Spirit of God led the people of Israel into the promised land. "For he dwells with you," check this out, and will be in you. Game changer. He'll not only be with you, but he will be in you. And then Jesus continues to talk, and he says this, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." I'm present with you. But here we go again, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. And then over in John chapter 15, the next chapter, but when the Helper comes, there we go again, whom I send to you from the Father. See, there's the Trinity, whom I, Jesus is saying, who I send to you, the Son, from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father, will testify about me. But I tell you the truth. It is for your advantage that I go away. Wait, time out. Come on, what do you mean? Hey, we saw what you did on the Sea of Galilee. We saw how you spoke to the wind and you made it go away. We saw how you fed 5,000 people with just a handful of fishes and a few loaves of bread. We've seen how you've handled people and how you've protected us and how you've guided us. What do you mean it's going to be for our advantage? Doesn't make sense to me. Does not make sense to me that it's going to be for our advantage, for our good, that you leave us, Jesus. Are you kidding me? You're our leader. But then he says this, for if I do not go away, the helper, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, will not come. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. So he says here, it is for your advantage. It's for your good that I am going away. Doesn't make sense, does it? It wouldn't make sense to me. What is better than having Jesus with you? Here's Jesus. He's right by me, man. Come on, bring it on, man. God in the flesh, he is here. What could be better than Jesus at your side? I don't know. How about the Holy Spirit in you? You see, the Holy Spirit is not an it. Holy Spirit is a person who relates, okay, who relates to us as a person. Goes on, all right? Who indwells us when we personally accept Jesus. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again of the Spirit so that the Holy Spirit will come and indwell you. And so the Holy Spirit in them, this is what Jesus was saying, the Holy Spirit in them was better than Jesus beside them. So he's saying it's to your advantage that I go away. Listen to me. Have you ever said this? Well, I just wish I could hang out with Jesus. I just wish Jesus was by my side. Let me enlighten you today. The Holy Spirit inside of you is better than Jesus beside you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We don't get this. We don't get this. And one of the reasons why we don't get this is because we don't see the Holy Spirit as a person. And you will never develop a relationship with him if you don't see him as a person. Because you and I don't develop relationships with an it or a thing or an object. And so you and I need to come to a place in our life of where we see the Holy Spirit, okay, as a person. One that we can relate to. One who lives in every man and woman who accepts him as the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life. You see, I want to give you some startling news, okay? And it's this right here. The same Spirit that brought Jesus back to life is alive in you if you've accepted Jesus Christ. Doesn't get any better than that. Doesn't get any better. The same Spirit that lives in you is the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead. That's why the Holy Spirit creates. Listen to me, the Holy Spirit can resurrect things in your life that are dead. He can bring order into your life. Listen to me. He can bring order into your life that are chaotic. And you know what else he can do? He can sustain you. He can sustain you. That's who the Holy Spirit is. But many of us, we're ignorant of him. Or we've never sought to know him or to understand him. And so he has become forgotten. And what happens is we suffer because of that. And so what I want to do in the time that I have, I want to give you three truths about the Holy Spirit just to get us going in this series. And I just challenge you, don't miss a message. This is life transforming. This will take you out of being religious into being able to having a vibrant relationship. That's why here at New Point, we would say that our mission is to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. Apart from the Holy Spirit creating and ordering and sustaining your life, you'll never be able to reach your God-given potential. And so let me tell you a little bit about the Holy Spirit. First of all, he's my God. He's my God, okay? He is my God. Jesus said it like this, and we looked at this. I will pray, or I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Jesus is saying this. I'm going to pray to the Father, okay? We got the God Son in here, God the Father, and he will send you another helper, one like me. I've helped you, but he's going to be another helper that he may abide with you, what, forever? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, check this out, and will be in you. Acts chapter 1, we'll get to that. He will be in you. He will fill you. And so this lets us know that the Holy Spirit is God. God. And yet at the same time, he's a person. He's co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father, God the Son. You see, God the Father is the planner. God the Son is the accomplisher. And the God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who applies it in our life. He is the one who convicts and convinces and converts. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. He's not an impersonal force. And we have to understand that. And so the Holy Spirit is God. He's my God. He's a real person who has a will, who has a mind, who has emotions, who loves you and I. He has the attributes of a person, which includes the will, okay? Listen to this, 1 Corinthians, he's talking about gifts here, and he says this. He says, he distributes to each one individually just as he chooses. He has a will. He makes decisions. He makes choices. He has a mind. He has a mind. The Holy Spirit has a mind. Paul writes it this way. He says, he searches the deep things of God and knows them. He has emotions. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Why? Well, Paul would say it like this. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit can be grieved, then it means that he has emotions. He has feelings. He's sensitive in that way. And guess what else? He loves. He loves. He loves. Paul writes it like this. He says, do this because of our Lord Jesus. Check this out. And the love that the Holy Spirit gives us. That's why we're going to look at this. I wish I had time in this one, but I don't. That's why Paul says, I pray that you will begin to grasp the height, the depth, the width, and the length of his love. Then he says this, so that the fullness of God can dwell in you. See, what happens is most of us don't feel loved by God because we've forgotten the God who lives in us. Who cares about you and cares about me, who's personal. And because the Holy Spirit has a mind and a will and he has emotions and he loves, we know that he is a person and he's co-equal with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But he's not just my God. Guess what else? He's my helper. We read that again and again. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away so that I can give you a helper. Now, guess what? Ready for this? It takes humility to ask for help. And when we don't ask for God's help, we grieve him. Because I can do this on my own. How's that working for you? See, Jesus said, it's for your advantage that I go away because the Holy Spirit, the Helper's going to come. He's going to live within you. John says it this way. He says, and when he comes, he will convict the world about the guilt of sin and the need for a Savior and about righteousness and about judgment. And then he says this, about sin. He gets real specific. And the true nature of it, because they do not believe in me and my message. It says that he will come and convict the world about sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us about sin. And that's a good thing, all right? It's like when your body, listen, it's like when your body hurts. Pain is a warning sign that something's not right. And when John is saying that he comes and he convicts the world of sin, he's talking about before salvation. Because listen to me, you and I don't have the ability to come to God on our own. If the Spirit of God does not draw us, we'd never come. And the way in which the Spirit draws us is by convicting us of our sin. Why? Because we don't believe. And so what happens is, if you know Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, you were convicted of your sin. You realize, hey, you know what? There's something missing in my life. There's something wrong in my life. And that was the Holy Spirit leading you to Jesus. And some of you are experiencing it right now. And that's God. He loves you. He cares about you. So he's convicting you. He's showing you your need. Paul would say it like this. He would say, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what you need to understand. God didn't give us the Holy Spirit just to make us feel bad, okay? He gave us the Holy Spirit, okay, to convict us, to let us know that something is wrong, that we would need a Savior. And then he goes on to say this. This is incredible. He says, and about righteousness. Not just about sin, but and about righteousness. What's righteousness? Right standing with God. Personal integrity and godly character. You see, what happens is when a man or a woman is born of the Spirit, you're now a person of integrity. You're a person of character. You may not always live that truth out, but it's true about you. And he says, because I am going to my Father, you will no longer see me. You see, righteousness is right standing with God. Right standing with God. And what he says here is he will convict you of righteousness. Not of wrongdoing here, but of righteousness. He will convict you that you are in right standing with God. Another word for conviction is convince. They convicted him. What did they do? They convinced the jury. And so what he is saying here is that the Spirit of God will come and convince you that you are in right standing with God. That yes, guess what? You were a sinner. You were condemned. But now because you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are completely forgiven. Without Jesus, you're completely condemned. With Jesus, you're completely justified. You're made right. And he wants to convince you that when you accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, listen, this is powerful because most of us aren't there. That when you accept Jesus Christ as your forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, you now have no condemnation. Have you ever been convinced of that? See, if I would tell you today you're holy, you would say, I'm not holy. You haven't been convinced. If I would say you're righteous, you'd say, oh, I'm not righteous. Oh, yeah, you are. You may not always act that out, live that out, but that's how God sees you. And he wants to convict you. He wants to convince you of that. Have you ever been convinced that you're righteous? That there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you more, and there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you less? Most of us haven't. That's why we're full of fear. Ready for this? Perfect love casts out all fear, but we've never been convinced that we're righteous, that we're totally and completely forgiven by God. And then he says this. He says, and about judgment, the certainty of it, because the ruler of this world, Satan, has been judged and has been condemned. Now, here's the reason why this is so important. The ruler of this world, okay, was judged 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on a cross for you and for me. He was defeated. Listen to me. He was defeated and disarmed. He has no authority over you or in your life. None. None. He has no power over you other than what you allow him to have by believing his lies and by embracing the fear that he comes in your life. You see, God wants to convict you, convince you that you are forgiven, that you are holy, that you're his son, that you're his daughter, and that Satan has already been condemned. Satan, listen to me, Satan has already been rendered powerless. Do you know that? He has absolutely no authority in a man or a woman's life who knows Jesus Christ. And so God has sent his spirit, the helper, to help you be convinced of that. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Let me give you this last one as we wrap up. He's my friend. He's my friend. He's not only my God and my helper, but he's my friend. Think of this with me. Man, I hope you can get this. I hope you can get this. He's my friend. Here's what Proverbs would say. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. How can he stick closer than a brother? Because he lives in you. You can't get any closer than that. He lives in you. Think about that. The Holy Spirit, God himself, lives in you. Not beside you, but in you. You can't get any closer than that. He is a friend who lives in you. He knows all about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows how you're wired. He knows your likes. He knows your dislikes. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And so he's a friend. And what do friends do? They defend. And what he wants to do is he wants to defend us against accusations. Accusations. You're stupid. You're dumb. You don't amount to anything. You're never going to make it. Your marriage is going to fall apart. You're going to go bankrupt. This is too much for you to handle. You might as well cash out. He's that friend that sticketh closer to a brother than a brother. He lives inside you, and he will defend you against the accusations of the enemy. Why? Because he's a helper. He's going to say, Dwight, that's not who you are. You're righteous. You're holy. Satan has been rendered powerless. So he's my friend. He defends me. You got a friend like that? How about a friend like this? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Listen, he's the spirit of truth. He's the spirit of truth. Listen, the Holy Spirit will always tell you the truth. And so he not only defends us against accusations, but he defends us against temptation. Temptations are a lie. They're a lie. And so what happens is the Holy Spirit responds to you and me like a friend would to another friend who is an addict. You ever dealt with an addict? What do you do when you see somebody that you love destroying their life? And they're headed down a wrong path. You know what? You're in the corner, right? And you're saying, hey, listen, you're killing yourself. You're ruining your life. I'm not going to let you do that. Because I love you, I'm going to confront you. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to speak to you. Because if you continue down that path, it's a dead end. It will kill you. And I'm saying this to you because I love you. And maybe you've been in those conversations. Because you love somebody so much and you see them ruining their lives that you almost come to blows with them. And that's what we have with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever almost come to blows with the Holy Spirit? He's saying, I love you too much to let you do that. Not on my watch, no. And you feel this. Don't get in that car. Don't go to that party. Don't say those words. Don't make that decision. Those are all things of the Spirit of God saying, don't do it. Or do this. Do this. Go there. Meet them. You see, the Holy Spirit is a friend who will not let you destroy yourself. Paul says it like this. He says, I am convinced and sure of this, that he, the Holy Spirit, who began a good work in you, will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up till the end of the time, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to what? Full completion in you. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit will oppose anything in your life and my life that's not good for us. You got a friend like that? No. You know why? Because most of our friends don't want the best for us. They want the best for themselves. And they're not willing to risk telling you and I the truth. And God loves you so much, he loves me so much, that he will tell us the truth. You know why? He will speak to anything. Listen, you all know that. You ever been there with your spouse? Don't say that. Don't say, who's that? That's the Holy Spirit. And you go ahead and say that. And then afterwards you say, I knew I shouldn't have said that. I knew I shouldn't have said that. And you grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, anything that will keep you from realizing and reaching your full potential, the Holy Spirit will talk to you about. He will talk to you about. And you know what? He's not a camp counselor. He's not your buddy. He's not your sidekick. He's your friend. He's your friend. And there's times that you will feel that he's against you because, listen to me, because ultimately he's for you. He's for you. And so the Holy Spirit, he's my God. He's my helper. He's my friend. And so I leave you with this. The Holy Spirit is a person who relates to us as a person, who indwells us when we personally accept Christ. Have you ever accepted Christ? If not today, you can. Just say, Jesus, as much as I know and much as I understand, I ask you to come into my life. I want to be born again of the Spirit, and he'll do it. And then we need to realize that the Holy Spirit creates and orders and sustains all life. Maybe you've invited the Holy Spirit in, but you haven't surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And so your life is chaotic. There's a lot of dead things in your life. And maybe today you need to say, God, today I surrender to you. And I surrender to the Spirit of the living God. And I'm asking you to create. I'm asking you to bring order. I'm asking you to sustain the life in me and in my marriage and in my family. And if you'll do that, you'll find that he's faithful. Let's pray. God, we love you today. Wow. That you would die for us is enough. But you took it to the extreme. You've chosen to live within us through the Spirit of God. God, forgive me for forgetting you or pushing you aside. And I pray today that as we adventure out to learn who you are and what you want to do, that we would embrace who you are so that you can create, so that you can bring order, so that you can sustain life in us, so that we can realize and reach our full potential in Jesus. And it's in his name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play, or catch us on Roku or Apple TV. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.